Hi, this is Nathan W. Bingham, host of Renewing Your Mind, and I want to invite you to join us in Orlando for our Ligonier National Conference. Beginning May 23rd, Christians from around the world will gather to hear biblical teaching and enjoy fellowship together. This year's theme is The Way, the Truth, and the Life. Over 3 days, we'll focus on the person and work of Jesus Christ. To learn more and register, visit ligonier.org/2024.
Have you ever seen something so beautiful it left you breathless? We're going to talk about the Hebrew word Selah. Thankfully, there is a short answer to what does Selah mean. Unfortunately, it is this: we don't really know. But there are clues. The word Selah in our English Bibles is a transliteration of a Hebrew word. As we saw in the Simply Put episodes about Hallelujah and Amen, we sometimes use transliterations when there's no equivalent word in the English language. Write down the sound of the Hebrew word Selah using the closest equivalent letters we have in the English alphabet, and that's how you end up with S-E-L-A-H. Selah. The word appears no fewer than 71 times in 39 of the Old Testament Psalms. It also appears 3 times in Habakkuk chapter 3. The book of Psalms, of course, is the Bible's songbook. These are words which are intended to be set to music and then sung or recited, which is why many scholars have speculated that Selah is some kind of musical notation or direction. Some have argued that the word appears to mark a change or interruption of some kind in the singing or reciting of the Psalms, and this perhaps is where we approach the most likely meaning of the word. Look up Selah in a Hebrew dictionary, and it'll likely say the word means to lift up or exalt. So the speculation is that Selah is the moment when the musicians, singers, and assembled crowd would respond to what they've been singing with praise and exaltation. As it says in Psalm 66, verse 4, "All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name, Selah," which surely ought to be the inevitable outworking of all our reflection on who God is and what He's done, praise and exaltation. Are we really glimpsing God as He is, if it doesn't produce in us wonder and praise? In the same way as when we look up at the stars, we're similarly filled with a sense of wonder and praise. It's not a considered response, it's instinctive. Wonder, praise, exaltation. If there are any words at all, they're likely to be something along the lines of wow. Some study theology simply to get a degree or to be published in theological journals. Some study it because if they don't, they'll have nothing to say to the congregation on Sunday. Some study it because they like the feeling of being very knowledgeable and being the smartest person in the room on any given theological subject. But if those are the only reasons for studying theology, we're doing it all wrong. The study of God ought to lead us to wonder. If our contemplation of God leaves us talking as if we were a walking Wikipedia entry, have we really learned anything about Him? If gazing over the lip of the Grand Canyon leaves us feeling stunned and breathless, how much more astonished ought we to be when we catch a glimpse of the triune God in Scripture? Some commentators argue that the word Selah comes from Salah, meaning to pause. Was this a moment when people paused to take a breath, to wordlessly praise the God about whom they'd been singing? In 1 Kings chapter 10, you can read about the time the Queen of Sheba came to visit King Solomon, one of Israel's greatest kings. Now, as you can imagine, being a queen herself, the Queen of Sheba was very well acquainted with power and wealth and majesty. In fact, she arrived with a huge entourage of servants and officials, together with a train of camels laden with gold and precious stones. She'd be a very hard woman to impress. And yet, the text says that when the queen saw King Solomon's house, the lavish food, his immaculately dressed court officials, the burnt offerings he offered at the temple, and saw for herself the wisdom for which Solomon had become legendary, the text says, there was no more breath in her. She was left literally breathless. How awe-inspiring must Solomon have been to leave even royalty breathless. And yet, when Jesus speaks of that moment, he says this: the Queen of Sheba came to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, something greater than Solomon is here. If Solomon left a queen breathless, what kind of response ought we to have at beholding the King of Kings, Jesus Christ? That, perhaps, is the meaning of Selah. A silence as the words fall away, and we're astounded at the ineffable majesty in front of us. This is Barry Cooper, and you've been listening to Simply Put. If you like the show, why not subscribe or write a review on your favorite podcast app? For more information and an archive of episodes, visit simplyputpodcast.com. Simply Put is a podcast from Ligonier Ministries.